So this is how these beings are aligned, and we can also say that these beings have gone themselves through a path. They were not always who they are and what they are. They too have changed in their nature. And let's see a little bit about why and how their changing makes it so important for us to understand who and what they are. Now, I've stressed more than once the uniqueness, the importance of the fact that the human being carries this mineral body, and how difficult that is for even the angels and the archangels, those hierarchical beings who are relatively close to us, to be able to understand what that means. They cannot penetrate that. I will say now, and I will go into it in greater detail in the sequences on evolution, that angels, archangels, and archai all have been human. They have all gone through a human stage. Human stage means that they carried an ego as their highest member. However, they did not carry the kind of physical body that we carry today. They also were immersed in a physical world, but it was a world that followed physical laws without having mineral substance. So minerality, this is the new element. This is the unique element. This is why the stone itself carries such a unique identity in the world, in the heavens, in the universe altogether, perhaps. So these beings have had to go through a path of suffering and joy, a path of loss and gain, of triumph and perhaps even despair in their own way, but they did it under circumstances that were far less fixed and rigid than those that we have. A couple of years ago, I was in Whistler, British Columbia, preparation for the Winter Olympics to be held there. 2 years hence, we're getting underway. And as part of this, a beautiful museum of First Nations peoples had been constructed. And this First Nations in Canada means Native Americans, the indigenous peoples there. And very, very remarkable to show how these First Nations peoples lived in the most difficult sorts of circumstances, in a cold, snowy, wet, cloudy setting with not the greatest soil by any means, and unpredictable watery conditions, and all of that. Very amazing. And they're famous for, among other things, their incredible canoes, their mastery of the water, fresh and ocean as well. These remarkable seaworthy boats, which are complete works of art. So they have one gorgeous one on display, and some others are shown in illustrations. And the tour guide taking us around pointed to a totally gorgeous boat and said, "Yes, this is a very special boat. This one would be worth two stone bowls. That one over there, one stone bowl." And we all looked at him, and he knew the effect his words would have, and we said, "A stone bowl, this, 25-foot long, gorgeous work of art, wooden boat, would be worth two stone bowls?" Yes, he said. And then he took us over to a kind of roundish big stone that they had in a corner of this display. And next to it was a small stone that was clearly slightly harder than the larger one. He said, rub away at the big stone. See how far you get. So we rubbed and rubbed and rubbed. And I did not notice terribly much progress in the few minutes that we worked away at it. And he smiled and he said, you know, this canoe, this boat, all of these boats are remarkable devices. They took a lot of work on the part of many people. But you're working with wood. Wood is so much easier. It's so much more cooperative. When you make a stone bowl, that takes much more time, much more effort, much more patience. And it tends to be something that only one person is going to have the stamina to do. Therefore, they understood a stone bowl is much more precious than a wooden canoe. This is how we can think of the hierarchies and ourselves. This is why they are so interested in us in certain ways, in other ways not. But anyway, this is why we are so different. Because they have, as it were, they've been the builders of the beautiful canoes. They have been those who've worked on the ice palaces. They have been those who've colored the clouds. They have, as it were, developed themselves under conditions that, relatively speaking, were much easier than the conditions we have today. Their work is unquestionably admirable and far beyond anything we've yet accomplished. However, they look at us with interest because we have taken a far more difficult path. Okay, now, Rudolf Steiner, to understand particularly the evolution of humanity in the world, particularly to understand what Christianity was all about, to understand how the human being is constituted and why, he needed the help of hierarchical beings. And a good deal of Steiner's work was coming to commune with these beings, and one might say using them as windows, as lenses, as a pair of eyes, as organs of perception, could be ears and sense of touch and all sorts of things. They became organs of perception for Rudolf Steiner to look into the spiritual world. Not only the spiritual world as it is, but because some of these beings, particularly those who carry powerful etheric forces or transformed etheric forces as life spirit, as one of their bodily members, they carry within them memories of long, long epochs of time. So Steiner, looking through their consciousness, was able then to see the past. Looking through the conscious perception of others, was able to look into the future. However, every one of these spiritual beings has its own particular vantage point. The angels are vouchsafed to see what the angels have experienced over the course of time and where they will be going. Same with the archangels, same with the archai, and so on and so forth. We all have our limited sphere of vision in a way. And Steiner, as a scientist, would come back from these journeys, and we can sort of imagine him, you know, riding on the back of an angel, like a fairy tale hero riding on a firebird, or grabbing onto the skirt of an archon as that Archon moved rapidly through space and time, holding on perhaps for his dear life, spiritually speaking. And then Steiner would return and he would start to put together the data that he assembled from these various highways and byways of the spiritual world. So it's not as though Steiner just sort of goes into the spiritual world and starts to see things. Other beings have to take him. Some of them may even have a bit of a bias. They want him to see something, perhaps that bears well on them, and not see something else. He had to develop a sense of discernment, a sense of compatibility of one story with another. He worked like a scientist, with a hypothesis at the beginning, but checking again and again against the actual data that's assembled. And like a scientist, Steiner would go back again and again to make sure that what he saw and what he understood could be replicated. And here we have the key to the question so often asked, why did Steiner contradict himself so much? Why did he say one thing about this period or that period of evolution, and then 3 years later say quite the opposite? Why did he point to the etheric body in this way and then call it something quite different later on? It is because he was relying on the data that he had at that time. And it might be that subsequent journeys with subsequent beings, perhaps much higher than those who had given him his first bits of information, these subsequent journeys would give him a very, very different picture. So this is why it's very tricky to prove something by quoting from a Steiner lecture, because it's very likely somebody else can prove the opposite by quoting from another Steiner lecture. Clearly, what Steiner was discovering was not about ways of winning debates or proving stuff. It was really about living in a way with the experiences of the spiritual world that are always in a state of becoming. That will always, in a way, leave room to be amplified, to be looked at in an entirely different way, to be proved wrong from one earthly standard and absolutely correct from another. So what I'm pointing to here is, I believe, one of the most important things that I will be sharing with you in this entire course. I'd like to say it's worth the $35 price of admission, but it's probably worth more than that. It's Steiner's methodology in relationship to the hierarchies. And this is why he wanted us to understand what bodies the hierarchies have, what they don't have, just in case we end up in the same situation that he did, we know where we are. That the members higher and lower of these hierarchies are also a roadmap of the spiritual world. They are really giving us, as it were, guidance as to what to expect and where to expect it coming from in our own spiritual work. But there's more. There's more to it than that.